each year after the Christmas season, the baptism of Jesus is in the church's lectionary. Actually, January the 6th was the actual day called Epiphany, and in the Eastern Orthodox Church, the baptism of Jesus is actually the Epiphany theme, rather than the Magi or the wise man, which became the theme in the Western Church of which we're a part. That we are taken up in the Western Church because that was a sign that God calls people from all nations, because these are people from outside Israel coming to see Christ, the child. Our common lectionary places John's baptism on this first Sunday after, that is today. But many Orthodox churches will be down, as I said, down the water today because it's a Sunday. Well, what's the point being made? John the Baptist here, you may have noted, points to one who is more powerful than he, one who will baptise you with the Holy Spirit. He is pointing away from himself. And we also hear the affirmation from God in the passage, "My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Words we hear again at Jesus' transfiguration on the mountaintops, which adds the words, "Listen to him." I said Epiphany was the name of the season. It simply means a revealing. We get a glimpse, an unveiling of who Jesus is, and he's the Son of God. He's the one on whom God's Spirit rests. And in the Eastern Church, they prefer to use the word theophany because they are making it more specific. They're saying the one who's revealed is God with us. For revealing, as I said, is God's Son, our Saviour, the Saviour of the world. In fact, each episode in the Gospel, if you think about it, each little action in the Gospel, each little piece of teaching, each parable is a revealing of who Jesus is. Bit by bit, we are being shown and prompted to ask, who is this Jesus? Let me give you an example. When Jesus calms the storm on the lake, and they're all frightened, the question is, when he calms the storm, the question is posed, who is this? Or who is this that even the wind and waves obey? Clearly implied, the one through whom all these things were made is implying who Jesus is. Then right in the middle of the gospel, Jesus comes straight out and asks, well, who am I? Well, I've paraphrased it. And Peter says, well, you're the Messiah. And the gospel goes on to show us, as we move to the cross and resurrection, what in fact this means, that he's Christ, Messiah, Son of God, Saviour, through his costly act of love. John the Baptist caused quite a stir by his message and baptism. Ritual baths were not uncommon in Judaism. If you've been there and seen some of the excavations, and as people point out in the writings, if you read the books, there were many who practiced a ritual washing before they went to worship. And it was also believed by some that this was part of the means by which people came from outside into Judaism. And those who take that line, of course, point out that what John the Baptist is basically saying is, look, don't rely on the fact that you're born children of God, born children of Israel. You all need to turn to God. You all need to change your direction. You all need to turn to him. And that was the shock. Every Christian generation, though, asks this question. Why does Jesus, the one without sin, come to John for baptism, which is a baptism of repentance? Now, the answer is not given here in Mark, but Matthew records John himself expressing a hesitancy. And Jesus replies, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is baptized because every part of Jesus' life is a complete identification with us in as human beings, in our need. In becoming one of us, that is, in the incarnation, he becomes one with us. Though he is still a Jewish child, and so he is dedicated in the temple, he is circumcised. At 12 he goes to Jerusalem for his bar mitzvah, as we would now call it. He worships regularly in the synagogue, and he comes to the temple to celebrate the festivals. But more, for in his life, Jesus' ministry is opening up a new way for all people, calling all to God through him, through his costly love on the cross and resurrection, where we not only see, but we can experience his complete identification with us. And that salvation is by grace, and grace alone, God's gift. Now, perhaps though we don't see what I'm about to say necessarily in this way, I was doing a little bit of research for the day, of course, and I saw that some people, namely the Orthodox Christians, see in Jesus' immersion in the waters of Jordan and the descent of the Holy Spirit upon him and those waters a reminder that of the Genesis creation story, that the Spirit moved across the waters, bringing life and order, a sign that in Christ, all through whom all things were made and came into existence, all things are now made new. As St. Paul puts it, in Christ there is a new creation. The old is gone, a new has begun. Well, perhaps that's part of the meaning of baptism too. One thing that everybody sees about Jesus' baptism is it marks the beginning of his ministry, and there's a big change from this time on. He is no longer the quiet carpenter in that way country town of Nazareth. I didn't work these figures out like Nathan did, Nathan Nettleton. Immediately following his baptism, there's evil's last-ditch attempt to throw him off course, the temptations. Another 7 verses, we have people leaving their jobs to go with him. 13 verses, we have screaming demons. 17 verses, news all over Galilee. 34 verses, he causes so much disturbance that he can't enter a town. 41 verses, he's accused of blasphemy. 62 verses, and there are plots to kill him. He's a man on a mission, and the mission begins with his baptism. This is what it marks in Mark's gospel. And for many, discipleship too can be a dangerous step as we step out on our mission for Christ. And there are many people in the world who are in dangerous places because of their following of Christ. We just have to put up with them. People not caring. The reading and celebrating of the baptism of Jesus is placed here at the beginning of what we call ordinary time, so that we may reflect on what baptism means for us. We can say baptism is a sign of our turning to Christ, a turning away from evil and what is unworthy. It is our identification with Christ, Christ's acts of salvation for us. We are, as Paul says, in Christ. And the picture there in Romans 6 is that we are raised to newness of life, raised to eternal life in Christ. Our baptism is a sign of the gifting of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift to every Christian. And in our Christian life, we are not to live it in our own strength, but enabled to live for Christ by the Holy Spirit's strengthening and gifting of us, and gifts for service. And it is grace. We are what we are because of God's love and salvation in Jesus. And baptism is our passing through our Red Sea, as it were. It's the beginning of our Christian journey. And it's our crossing of the River Jordan into our promised land. And we become members together of the community of faith, the church, sharers with each other on our Christian journey, disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, living for Christ. A Baptist pastor friend of mine a few years ago put this booklet together on people's experience of their baptism. She called it Watermarked, which I thought was a bit cheeky, but there you are, Watermarked. Very different experiences. Not everybody's experience of their baptism or what happened to them is the same. And if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see this same thing too. I'll give you one example. Those who were baptised and they said, we've never heard of the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles put it right, as it were. They laid their hand upon them and the people received the Holy Spirit. But whatever, however we have experienced it, baptism is about God's work within us. It's about us being in Christ. It's about God's wonderful love. It's about our response to the one who has loved us. Thus, like many others, we believe that generally baptism should be public in worship so that the newly baptised in Christ are welcomed into the community of faith, that we can share the joy and blessing of those whom God has blessed, that we are reminded of our own baptism, that we have been saved by Christ and are called to faithfulness and service. Let me read you some words from, popular Christian songs he's written, a bit out of date now, but Lutheran. In the water and the word is his promise, be assured, those who are baptised and believe shall be born again. Let us daily die to sin. Let us daily rise with him. Walk in the love of Christ our Lord. Live in the peace of God. Father welcomes all his children to his family through his Son. Father giving his salvation, life forever has been won. At Jesus' baptism, we see the gifting of the Holy Spirit. We hear the affirmation, my beloved child in whom I delight. And now we see a man on a mission, one beginning a message of intimate and merciful healing and liberating power of God to all people in need, even in the most costliness of love. That same Spirit which calls and loves us into the ways of God calls us with the same intimate words, you are my beloved child in whom I delight. And they come to us with that same mission of Christ set before us. We should be people on a mission. It comes intimately and individually, but it also is spoken to us together as a people of God, the church. Let me quote this last paragraph. And we all together are given the Spirit for the same purpose as was Jesus. Jesus was given the Spirit for the sick whom he healed. We are given the Spirit that being healed, we may lead others to healing. Jesus was given the Spirit for sinners whose sins he forgave. We are given the Spirit so that as we realise how utterly dependent we are on his mercy, we offer forgiveness and mercy to others. Jesus was given the Spirit for the poor and the outcast, whose fellowship he sought out. We are given the Spirit so that, being accepted and welcomed, we may welcome and embrace those who are cast out by society. Jesus was given the Spirit for men and women whom he called to follow him in discipleship. We are given the Spirit as those men and women whom he has called so that we might follow in his footsteps and carry on his mission. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, gift of God, blow through our lives, refresh us, enliven us, empower us to do your will in the world. Make us aware of the Spirit's leadings. Give us boldness to follow Jesus, to live out our discipleship by daily dying to sin and to rise into new life in Christ. Amen. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Let us pray the prayer that will appear on the screen together. We thank you, God our Father, that through word and sacrament you have given us your Son, who is the true bread of heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service, that our daily living may show our thanks, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.